Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Exodus chapter number 14, and let me just read you verse 15, and then we'll go back and I'll kindly bring us into where we're at. The Bible said this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." God told Moses to go forward. He said, it's not the will of God for the children of Israel to just stand here, but to move forward. I understand that whenever we read prior to this that he says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And they did, but after the waters was parted, what did they do? They went forward. They moved on. And I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about going forward. Father, I love you. I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight. I pray, God, that your will and way would be done in the service, God. I pray, God, that you would bring back to our remembrance the things that we've studied. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I began reading a book the other day. Matter of fact, I was walking through the bookstore, and if you say it that way, it sounds better than the coffee shop. But anyway, I was walking through pages the other day, and I saw a book there, and the title of the book was Forward. That was the title of the book. And I picked it up and began to read through it a little bit, and set it back down, and actually came home and bought it on Kindle, just simply because it's easier to keep up with 700 books when you got them on Kindle. Or Logos or Apple books. And I began reading through that book and reading some things out of that book. And man, it just began to spur some thoughts in my mind about moving forward. I want to say something to you tonight, church. The Lord's will for our church is not to sit dormant. That is not God's will for our church. It's not God's will for our church to be my four and no more. That's not God's will. It's not God's will for it to be my family and one other family and one other family. No, it's God's will for our church to move forward, to take steps forward, to go forward in the things of God. Someone has said this, if you're not going forward, you're sitting still. I disagree with that. If you're not going forward, you're going backwards. You're doing one of the two tonight. And I really believe in all of my heart, according to the Word of God, it is God's will for us to move forward. It is God's will for us to keep going. And you say, "Well, preacher, you know what? If the church grows anymore, I'm not going to get my seat." Well, it's not our seats to begin with. If the church moves forward, preacher, I might lose my parking space. Well, just park at my house if you're worried about that. There's so many mixed emotions when a church begins to grow. I was thinking about it, and I'm not 100% sure, but probably tomorrow night I'm going to go to the book of Acts at Brother Ryan's and preach on I've been bitten, but I'm not quitting. I preached that years ago here at the church on Paul whenever he throwed that stick of wood onto the fire. And can I say something to you tonight? Anytime the fire begins to burn, the serpents will begin to crawl. As long as there's nothing going on, as long as everything is monotonous, as long as everything is the same, you'll not have to worry about any serpents crawling. But I promise you, whenever the fire begins to burn, I was talking to a preacher this week. I talked to him a lot on Sunday. I'd never call his name while we're on a live feed, but then I've talked to him a lot this week, and that's exactly what I told him. I said, "Brother, listen to me, and listen to me well. In 15 years of pastoring, any time the fire of God begins to burn and the church begins to grow, there's always going to be a serpent that rises their head up." And I want to say something to you tonight, and we don't have this issue here, but I want to say something to you tonight. Whether you agree with a preacher or whether you not, you better respect his position according to the Word of God. You go to running your mouth about the man of God, and God's liable to take you out of here. That's just the fact. And matter of fact, I got upset talking to that preacher this week. And I told him, I said, you handled yourself probably a whole lot better than I would have handled myself. Somebody talked to me like that. But you better be real careful. You better be real. It don't matter if you agree with them or not. You know what? There's a lot of guys today that's preachers even here in our community that I don't agree with everything they do. But I'm not going to talk about them because they've got a calling from God on their life. But I want to say this to you. It's moving forward. Moving. It. God says, go forward. I read some things. Here's what one said. In our life, we are called to look ahead and move forward with power, passion, and purpose. With power, passion, and purpose. Can I say something to you tonight? The way that we have that power is through the Word of God. The way that we have that passion is through the Word of God. The way that we have that purpose is through the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. If we are not careful, we will stop dreaming. Listen to what David Jeremiah said. A dream is simply a picture of what you feel God wants you to do next. I want to ask you a question now. What does God have for you next? What does God want you to do next? Now, I want to say something to you tonight. God has a plan for your life. He has something for you to do. I think about this, man, it excites me when Sunday school classes begin to grow. You say, why? Because you can split them up and make more classes, and that gives more people a place to serve more. I thought about this. The Bible's filled with stories of men and women who saw what life could look like in God's kingdom and then took the steps necessary to move forward in faith. They moved forward in faith. Let me tell you, I taught on Moses' faith last night in Bible college. We finished up our first semester of this year, and it was the class that I taught was Hebrews 11. And we spent 12 weeks in Hebrews 11 looking at faith. And can I say this to you tonight? What Moses did was an act of faith. He did it with an act of faith. You know what? Moses had everything this world had to offer. It was at his fingertips. He could have very well been Pharaoh one day. You know what he said? He said, I choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Think about the faith of Moses when he stood there that day and he stretched that rod over the Red Sea. Son, he was in a tight place. He was more than in between a rock and a hard place. He was in between the Egyptian army, the Red Sea, the mountains, and the desert. He was in a fix, buddy. You know what he done that day? He stretched forth that rod because God told him to do that. And what did God do that day? God parted the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry ground. By faith, he done that. Let me tell you what he done when he got to Marah. He prayed. God showed him a tree. He picked up the tree, and by faith, he chucked that tree into the waters of Marah, those bitter waters, and God made those waters sweet. The things that Moses done was an act of faith. Moving forward takes faith. Takes faith. There's a lot of times, and I want to say this to you tonight. I completely understand there is a business side to the church. There is an administrative side to the church, and I completely understand that, but we must be careful that we forget about faith, because that's really what the church works off of. That, amen. That's really what the church works off of. Now, think about this. Everything that Moses done was in faith. Think about this. Abraham dreamed of a great nation when he was yet childless. Moses envisioned a free people when the Israelites were still making bricks without straw. Joshua envisioned an occupied land. David dreamed of a temple on a hill. Nehemiah built miles of walls in his prayers before a single stone was laid. David gleaned of a future kingdom. Peter on an established church. Paul of a global mission. You know what happened? By faith, they moved forward and God allowed it to happen. By faith they move forward. Again, here's what the Bible says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Here are some questions that usually come up. Well, what will happen? What problems are around the corner? What victories will we enjoy? The children of Israel in a place just like that. You see, they were standing between danger and delight. And I want to say something to you tonight. We stand at the same place. What will we do? Will we follow God and move forward? Or will we stand still? Let me tell you the reason. Let me tell you the reason so many churches never get past where they're at. They never want to move forward. There's a lot of churches that's just fine being what they are. I want to say something to you tonight. I'm not just fine being what we are. I'm not just fine being what we are. I mean this from the depths of my heart. No disrespect. I mean it from the depths of my heart. If the church's prayer and the church's heart is just to remain where we're at, then it's time for me to find somewhere else to pastor. I'm not satisfied where we're at. I want to move forward. I want to do more. I want to see God save more sinners. I want to see God pack the church house out again. He said, move forward, Moses. Tell the children of Israel to move forward. To move forward. Well, preacher, you know, somebody comes in Sunday morning. We don't know them. I just don't know about all that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk up to them, and I'm going to say, man, it sure is good to see you in the Lord's house. And if they stick their hand out to me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shake their hand, and I'm going to say, it's good to have you today. We appreciate you being here. You say, preacher, what if they walk in and got tattoos from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, and they got nose rings and ear rings and tongue rings and jaw rings and everything else pierced? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stick my hand out, and I'm going to say, it sure is good to have you at Amazing Grace Baptist Church today, because I know something for sure. There's something here that will change their life, and it's called the Holy Ghost. Move forward. He said, go on. He said, move forward. He said, move forward. Let me show you, and I've dealt with this. I've got this in my introduction, and we'll try to get to the message, but I don't know that we will. I've dealt with these two or three things right here before here at the church in a message on going forward. I'm going to show them to you by way of introduction. Number one, and by way of introduction, in going forward, you'll find His presence. You'll find His presence. Know with me what your Bible said in chapter 13. In chapter number 13, in chapter number 13, look what the Bible said in verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them the light to go by day and night. Here's what He said. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Go with me back to chapter number 3. Let me show you something right here. Chapter number 3 and verse number 10 says this. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse number 12. And He said, certainly I will be with thee. Look in verse number 16. The Bible said this. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. What did He say? He said, I have surely visited you. Look in verse number 18 in the latter portion of it. The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us what? Go. You know what He's saying? Here's what He's saying. In moving forward and in going forward, if you do it God's way, you're going to find His presence. What did He say in Hebrews 13:5? He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm glad that when we're walking in the will of God and we're moving forward in the will of God, we will find the very presence of God. He'll be there. You know, I thought about this Sunday night. I went home, and We eat some cold cuts. Brother Jim and his wife, our missionaries, he was here with us on Sunday night, came home with us and eat with us. And man, I love them so much. I hate so bad he didn't get to preach, but at the same time, I'm so thankful for God moving the way that he did. But we was talking, and Brother Jim took Six Mile Baptist Church in South Carolina with 40 people, and he said he had been there about a month, and it split in half, and he lost half of them. And whenever he left 25 years later, there was running over 400. It's out in the middle of nowhere, just like it is here. We was talking about it and what God had done there. And whenever they left and went to the motel, I laid down in the bed. And as most of the times on Sunday nights, I just toss and tumble. You relive everything that happened that day. And here was the conclusion I came to. Evidently, God is pleased with what's going on at Amazing Grace. Evidently, he's happy with what's happening. You say, why do you say that? Look back the past month at what God's been stirring in our church. The way God's been meeting with us. Can I say something to you tonight? When we go forward, when we move forward, when we go for God, you'll find his presence there. What was that cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night? It's one of the most beautiful pictures of the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. It's what it is. It's him leading them the way. You know what? Even when they got to Marah, you know what happened when they got to Marah, don't you? Right after they crossed the Red Sea 3 days later. You know what happened? It was bitter waters and they could not drink of the waters of Marah. But you know what? All they had to do was look up and realize that there was a cloud that was there. A lot of times in the bitter times in our life, we forget that God's still there. You'll find his presence and moving forward. Watch this. We're not going to get out of the introduction. Watch this, number 2 and verse number 5. Skip down to verse number 6. And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. This is Pharaoh. God's hardened the heart of Pharaoh now. In verse number 7, and he took 600 chosen chariots. This is chapter 14. And all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. The Bible goes on to say, verse number 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them. And I'll tell you what you'll find when you move forward. Number one, you'll find his presence, but by way of introduction, number 2, you'll find problems. You'll find problems. You'll find problems. I promise you, Olivia, will you go get me a bottle of water? I might need to preach a little while tonight. I promise you, not everybody is excited when the fire of God falls. Not everybody is excited when God begins to move. Not everybody is excited when the church begins to grow. You'll find problems in going forward. You know what they done? They obeyed Moses. Moses told them to leave. They packed up, took off out of Egypt. They no more and got out of Egypt. And guess what happened? Problems started their way. Problems started their way. You know what Dr. Hiles always said? Here's what Dr. Hiles said. He said, if you've got people, you've got problems. That's what he said. He was asked, how do you pastor a problem-free church? I don't have nobody. There is no problem-free church. There is no perfect church. Anytime you begin to move forward, you have problems. You have problems. You say, preacher, what kind of problems have we got right now? As far as I know, now something might be brought to me after service tonight, but as far as I know, we don't have none right now. But I promise you, as we began this year praying and begging God to let us move forward and get past where we're at, there will be problems that comes up. There will be problems. I've said this, and I'll say it again. If Paul had never stoked the fire, he'd have never got snake bit. And can I just say this to you? That serpent so blended in to that stick of wood that Paul didn't even see it. But when it got close to the fire, that's when it become I say it this way, and it might not be the proper English, but you'll understand what I'm saying. That's when it become undormant. That's when it began to move. There's a lot of people sitting in a church, and it'll never cause you a minute's trouble as long as that church is not doing nothing. As long as that church is not doing... Sometimes I feel like I pastor 8 churches. And you say, why do you say that? Because of all of our preachers out of the church calling me. And that's not a bad thing. I tell them, man, you call me anytime you want to. You call me anytime you want to. But man, over the past month or two, they spent 3 or 4 of them battling hell by the acres out of our church. And here's exactly what I told them. Just get ready for it. Just get ready for it. And you know what I told, here's something else I told him. I'm just waiting on the old serpent to stick his head up at Amazing Grace. Here's what happens. People will fit in just fine at the church. They'll lay dormant down at the church as long as nothing's going on. But as soon as the fire begins to burn, you want me to tell you what they do? They stick their stinking head up and cause trouble. There's problems in going forward. Don't think that everything is going to be just fine. There'll be problems along the way. Let me show you something else. There was prayer in going forward. Look in verse number 10, the latter portion of the Bible said this, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. If I've heard my daddy say this one time, I've heard him say it 10,000 times. You better pray a whole lot and move real slow. You better pray a whole lot and move real slow. Can I tell you something, church, tonight? In moving forward, we've got to pray. We have got to get a hold of God. Somebody has got to grab a hold of the horns of the altar and not let go until they pray through. Moving forward requires prayer. It requires prayer. There's a lot of things that can be taken care of in an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Years ago, I hadn't been here long, and I'd been here a little while. Brother Josh had already surrendered to preach and was preaching. We had several other preachers already in the church then. I'd probably been here, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, and there was a little problem raised its head up. And you've heard me talk about this before, but there was a little problem raised its head up. And I was preaching in Bakersville, North Carolina. Probably nobody here knows where that's at except the Kemps back there. Bakersville, North Carolina. It's in between Spruce Pine and Burnsville. Probably nobody even has heard of Spruce Pine or Burnsville. But anyway, it was in between Spruce Pine and Burnsville at the Calvary Baptist Church. Brother Shane Gunner was there at the time. I was preaching in a camp meeting there. And I told Brother Josh, I said, man, I'm going to the meeting. And I said, won't you go up with me? I got to preach a few days. You can ride up with me and we'll have a good time. And he said, all right. We took off up there. I told Brother Josh going up there, I said, listen, man, I said, we got a problem in the church. He said, oh, no, preacher, that ain't good. And I said, you're exactly right, it ain't good. And I said, I'm not going to tell you what the problem is because he really didn't need to know. He would have changed his mind about some people in the church. Are you with me? And I told him, I said, here's what I need you to do. I need you to help me pray about it. I said, because it really, if it's not taken care of, it could really be detrimental in our church. And I said, I'm going to tell you, when I get back, I've got to address it. I've got to take care of it. And I said, would you please, while we're up here, help me pray about it? He said, preacher, I promise you, I'd be glad to help you pray about it. And I said, all right. We went to meeting that first night. And after the meeting that night, I told Brother Shane, I said, listen, I said, can I come over here sometime tomorrow during the day and just pray a while? He said, absolutely, preacher. He said, tell you what, we'll meet and grab an early lunch together, and then after that, we'll just come over here and pray a couple hours. And I said, man, it sounds great. And me and Brother Shane Gunner, and there was another preacher out of his church. He's actually out pastoring now, Brother Shane. I can't remember his last name. And then Brother Josh, we went and eat, and then we went over there, and we began to pray, and I started in the choir area, and I ended up getting down and going to the very back where I was by myself. himself and laying on a pew on the very back row of that church on the right-hand side looking from the pulpit. And I just got to praying and I said, God, you know this need. God, you know the problem. You knew the problem before the problem ever come up. And God, I sure don't want to cause havoc in the church. I need wisdom. I need guidance. God, please tell me how to take care of this and show me how to take care of this. And it was just like God was laying on the pew beside of me. And here's what he said. It's took care of. And I said, but Lord, I think I heard a preacher one time say, if you try to reason with God, God will always win. I said, but Lord, you know, I'm probably going to have to talk to this one and talk to this one. And God said, it's took care of. I said, okay, Lord. Well, I just went to praying and thanking him for taking care of it. I came back home. Brother Joshua was on the way back home, and he said, preacher, boy, I've been helping you pray about that. Preacher, I can't even hardly eat. He said, I'm just worried sick. Y'all know the way he talks. And I said, well, listen, Brother Joshua, don't even pray about it no more. And he looked at me. I said, don't even pray about it no more. He said, what do you mean don't pray about it no more? I said, God told me everything was all right laying on the back row of that choir or on the back row of that church praying yesterday. I said, don't even worry about it no more. He said, you want me to pray? I said, no, I'm not going to pray about it no more. God told me not to worry about it. And can I say something? That's been about 7 or 8 years ago. I came back to the church. I never confronted the people about it. I never approached nobody about it. It's never been brought up again. Matter of fact, nobody else but me knew exactly what it was. Can I say something? And moving forward, you will find problems. But if you'll pray, I promise you, God will work a lot of those things out before you ever have to deal with it. You'll find His presence. You'll find problems. You'll find prayer, but you'll find provisions. In verse number 13 through 25, you know what the Bible says? The Bible goes on to say that when they got to that Red Sea, that cloud that was leading them by day, and cloud of fire that was leading them by night, that cloud moved behind the children of Israel. What about that? Moved behind the children of Israel. And that cloud made it darkness for Pharaoh and his army, and they couldn't go nowhere. But you know what it done for the children of Israel? It made it daylight. And you know what they done? God parted the Red Sea, and close to 3 million that night made the crossing of the Red Sea. Why? Because God provided a way. You know what Brother Sammy used to always say? Friend, where God guides, God provides. Amen. He will always provide a way. Whenever you move forward, whenever God says get moving, you listen to God. You pray about it. He'll meet the needs. He always has. He always will. You'll find God will provide a way. I'm going to use the Kemps for an illustration real quick. We was talking back several weeks ago. Just talking back several weeks ago about a trailer. They needed a trailer. He said, preacher, we need a trailer. God, and you don't know their whole story. He had a great job. He was an IT man, made millions and millions every year. I don't know if it was that much, but he had a great salary, no doubt about it, with the position that he had. And God put on their heart to step out by faith and start helping churches. And I'm telling you, audio video is a great need in churches. It costs out what he's going to do for us over the next few days would have probably cost $15,000 or $20,000 if we'd had anybody else come in and do it. And God put that on their heart, and they stepped out by faith and began to do that. He said, preacher, he said, help us pray. He said, we really need a trailer. They had to drive two vehicles up here. He has to haul part of his tools in the truck, and then his family comes in the other one. I said, man, I'll help you pray. And I sent out a message to 2 or 3 different people, said, help us try to find the enclosed trailer. And what we was going to do, if we could find one for a good price, I was going to bring it before the church to buy it and give it to them. Well, we just hit dead ends. We never could find one. So I done a Zoom meeting or a Marco Polo board meeting with Foothills, and I said, man, we've got these two trailers. One of them sets all the time. Why why don't we move everything over into it and then give the Kemps this trailer and they can have a nice trailer to pull across the country and be a blessing to a multitude of churches. And of course, all the men on the board of directors said, absolutely, Brother Jonathan, give it to them. So you know what they're going to do Sunday night? Whenever they begin to leave, they're going to hook to that trailer and they're going to take it home. Think about this. What a coincidence. Her father-in-law does painting bodies. So he's going to be able to paint it and make it look nice for them. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. When we fall in the center of God's will and we begin to move forward as God leads us, I promise you there's a God in heaven that'll meet every need that we have. I remember in 2017, Brother Brian probably remembers it more than I do because he's the one that wrote his name on that piece of paper that borrowed all that money from the church. I remember in 2017 when we borrowed all that money, I thought, Lord, I hope you'll meet this, but I'm following you. Now, help thou mine unbelief. We've all been there. And who in the world would have ever dreamed that in the midst of a pandemic, when church was nowhere close to being normal, that we would have the biggest financial year that we've ever had at our church, and God would let us pay that Sunday school, let us pay that $200,000 off in 3 years. Who would have ever dreamed that? Let me tell you what it is. It's God. When we obey Him and move forward, I promise you He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. You'll find His provisions. Here, let me just throw this out to you. You'll find His promises. He had told them that He's going to bring them out. Verse 26 through 30, you'll find His promises is held true. We're going to say this to you. When you move forward, and this is all introduction, we'll get into the message next Wednesday night. When you move forward, when you go into chapter number 14, what did the children of Israel do? They stopped and began to praise God. And when you move forward and watch God meet the needs, you better never forget to praise God for what He's done. You better never forget to praise Him. That's where so many churches end up losing the touch of God. God does great things in them. Then all of a sudden a pastor begins to get arrogant, or members begin to get arrogant, and they steal the praise and glory from God as to look at what I've done. I can take you to a church tonight. I can take you to a church tonight that two pastors ago done that very same thing. And that church ended up just about bottoming out. The next pastor came in and gave God all the glory and the church exploded. The next pastor that's there now came in and has that arrogant attitude, and they have went back down to almost nothing. If you don't give God the glory, let me tell you the way. Now I'm gonna say a couple things right here. Come start playing softly. I'm gonna say a couple things right here that's hard to say sometimes as a pastor. But let me tell you the way to keep God's blessings on this church. Number one, we keep giving Him all the praise for what's happening. Number two, we stay humble and obedient to Him and anything He says to do. Number three, it's where it gets tough for me to say sometimes. Number three, you make sure the pastor's taken care of, and you do. I'm praising you. You do. I don't have to worry about anything. And number four, you continue to get the missionary across the world. That pastor is the first missionary out of the church. But you continue to get the missionary across the world. And if you'll do those things, I promise you, God will open the windows of heaven. When I say you get the missionary across the world, that's us too by knocking on doors. The mission field's as soon. Mission field's not when we walk out the door. The mission field's right here. It's right here. You know how many people in our area that needs God? I'm going to tell you something. We're a bunch of hypocrites to support missions and not even reach our own community. Well, we're a bunch of hypocrites. If we'll send, and we do. We send missionaries across the world. And we're going to be able to do even more by what we've just done tonight. But can I say something to you tonight? We're wrong. Last year we give over $60,000 to world missions. We're wrong if we'll give $65,000, $70,000 at least this year to world missions and not go knock on the door in our own community. You want the blessings of God to stay here? Go ye into all the world. A lot of times we quote that and we think of a third world country. Guess what? This is the world. This right here is the world. May God help us to reach our community. I can reach my community faster than I can reach the world. Amen. Or we're going to keep supporting missionaries. Right at 40 a month. Right at 40 a month that we're supporting. And I know we're going to at least take one more on Sunday, if not more. I want to say something to you tonight. God said to the children of Israel, go forward. And again, this is one of those times where I can preach it in somebody else's church is a whole lot easier than I can here. God used his man to relay that message to the First Baptist Church of Israel. That's who God used. Watch this. God didn't use Aaron to tell them. God used Moses to tell them. God don't use the deacons. God don't use the Sunday school teachers or the directors of this and that and the other. In all honesty, there's not but one pastor in the church. We got Brother Heath that helps us with young people, and thank God for that. He does an awesome job with. But at the end of the day, there's one pastor that's going to give an account for this church, and that's me. God will speak to the church through the man of God as the pastor. Here's what God says. Go forward.